Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all. It's good to be here together worshiping Jesus with one another, learning about him, fellowshipping with him together. If you don't know me, my name is Matt Schwartz. I'm the pastor here of Worship and Operations. And if you're new or visiting, we'd love that you're here. We're glad that you're here worshiping with us and learning alongside of us as well. We have been going through the book of Matthew for about a year and a half now, looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus is a masterful teacher, and we want to learn from him, and we want to live for him. One of the first core values of our church is we are Christocentric, which means in everything that we do points back to Christ. The things that we do, the ways that we worship, the ways that we teach, the way that we do programs, everything else, we want to be rooted and centered in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And so today we have a kind of an interesting, a little weird passage, actually, in the end of Matthew 17. We're going to hear about a tax. Well, it's tax season, and I don't know if we planned on that. If the elders planned on that specifically as a sermon on tax being right after taxes were due. But anyway, we're talking about taxes today, and we're also talking about fishing today, which is kind of a really interesting dynamic, those two together. But as 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Okay, so I'm excited to open up God's word with you today to learn together, not just to gain knowledge. Don't stop there. Don't stop at just gaining knowledge, but we ask that the person of the Holy Spirit would take root in our lives and would take the words from the Holy Scriptures, which are alive and which are life-giving, that would actually change us as people, not just give us new knowledge. Okay, so we ready? Let's dig into, well, if you're ready or not, I'm going to preach. So let's dig into Matthew 17, verses 24 through 27. If you'd like to get that open in your Bibles or your iPhones, Android people, or your Android phones, or it'll also be on the screen behind me. All right. So Matthew 17, 24. When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the 2 drachma tax went up to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And when he said, "From others," Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up, and when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we don't always understand your word correctly. We acknowledge that there are so many things that you imply in the words. I pray that we would be wise to catch them, that we'd have hearts that are open and humble to receive where it is that you are showing us of yourself, and you're actually showing us how to follow after you better. So I pray that you'd give us wisdom and humility as we enter in today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's begin with some details. A lot of people have trouble with this passage because this whole 2 drachma tax, it doesn't really make sense. So let me apply some historical information for us to kind of help us enter in. Now, some of you may think that this passage is related to the other money passage in Matthew 22, where Jesus says, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's." We'll talk about that a little bit later. But this story is different. Okay, that story was dealing with a Roman tax. This story is dealing with a Jewish tax. So the implications are a little bit different. The 2 drachma tax, or the temple tax, was a tax that goes way, 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 way back to Exodus 30. This is from Moses, told the people, when you turn 20 years of age and you're counted in the census, you will pay a half a shekel from yourself towards the temple and for its workers. And that was, it's just been done since then. Now, historians debate over whether this was an annual tax or whether it was a once-in-a-lifetime tax. But it was commonplace for this to be an annual tax, and obviously the temple workers preferred people to pay this annually because it was going for them and the upkeep of the temple. Okay, so just know that this was a kind of a normal thing. People knew about this, people did it, and it was a flat tax, meaning that it wasn't dependent on your income. Everybody had to pay the same. Now, we're a little unsure of where Jesus would have gotten the temple tax each time, because we know Jesus didn't make any money, and I don't know. I mean, he could have fished for his temple tax every single time. Maybe, because he's God, he could do that. But we do know from Peter's answer that Jesus and his disciples paid this tax. Now, some scholars like to speculate that, well, Peter wasn't a very honest guy, and maybe he just said, yes, my teacher pays this tax out of fear. But let's just focus on the fact that Peter says, yes, Jesus pays the tax. And at the end of the story, Jesus says, we're going to pay the tax. So let's agree and understand that this was a common tax paid by Jesus and his disciples. But the crux of this passage comes from the conversation between Jesus and Peter. And this is something I've gained in such a love and appreciation for Jesus as we've journeyed through Matthew together. I've just gained such a love for his ability to get to the heart of an issue by asking questions that lead us to understanding. For those of you who are educators in the room, we know that in order to teach principle, we need for people to own that principle so we ask questions and we help them understand by helping them work it out in their brain and not just telling them the answer every single time. Okay, so Jesus makes an object lesson out of a very common, well-known situation like paying the temple tax, and he teaches us about himself and about ourselves. So the heart of the issue here, the heart of this whole entire interaction, the big idea is freedom. That's kind of the big idea in the heart of what we're going to be talking about today is freedom. Verse 25, Jesus says, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And he said, "From others." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free." So let's try for a moment to set aside our American understanding of freedom, okay? And get, because we have a very specific understanding of that. We have fought wars and traveled many miles to be a free nation, and we understand what that is. Okay, so let's get past that for a moment and look at what freedom might have looked like in the life of a Jesus follower. And a good example, I know they're worlds apart, literally, but Great Britain, okay? Great Britain is a monarchy, right? We understand this. They're right over the pond. They're in the news all the time, sometimes on Oprah. And so we know who the royals are. We kind of understand a little bit of how it works in Great Britain, right? So the royal family, there's a tax for the subjects of Great Britain, and they pay taxes, and that's how the royal family gathers income, generates revenue. And then the royal family is a figurehead, and they go and they do things, and so it's for the upkeep of their palace and for their purses and etc. So this whole concept of when Jesus says, "Do the kings of the earth tax their children?" No. If the Queen of England taxed her children or other people part of the royal family, she would just be taking her own money. Do you understand what Jesus is saying here? Okay, so being a royal wasn't anything that they earned, wasn't anything that they worked hard for. It was just they had the name, and therefore they were free. They were exempt from the tax. Okay, so with that context understood, Jesus isn't really talking about a tax, is he? He's talking about who he actually is. This temple tax went to the temple and the temple workers, okay? So audience participation, we don't really do this very often here, but audience participation, Who is the king of the temple? Anybody? God. Very good. Very good. Okay, it's like in Sunday school, the best answer is always Jesus. Most of the time it works. But yes, God is the king of the temple. And who is Jesus? Jesus is God's son, right? Okay, so what Jesus is saying, if anybody is exempt from this tax, it's God's son, Jesus. He doesn't have to pay this tax. He is completely 100% exempt. However, if we know the life and work of Jesus, we will see that he's not somebody that came to be a name or a title. He didn't come flaunting an identity. He came to serve. He came to give up his life for us. And Philippians 2:5-7 says, Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. So a big picture of Jesus' life shows a man whose rightful freedoms as the Son of God was laid down for the sake of his mission, the gospel. So we talk a lot about this word, the gospel, in the church. And some of us have a good understanding of it, and some of us don't, and that's okay. The gospel is, basically, if I were to sum up the gospel, it's the world's greatest rescue mission. It's God, knowing that his people had turned from him, sent his son Jesus to teach us, to live alongside of us, and to die for our sins so that we could be free from the bondage of our sin, and we could be given a new name, and we could be put into a new family. That's what we call the church, people that are following Jesus together. Okay? He redeemed us, or he compensated for our faults by coming and making us free. In sin, we are in bondage. In Jesus, through him, when we believe in him and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, we are free. But not just that, we are adopted into a new family, the family of God. Jesus laid himself down to purchase us this new life and to give us everlasting freedom. So do you see what's happening here? If Jesus is free by being the Son of God, and we are brought in and we are adopted into that same family by the work of Jesus, you and I, who trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are sons and daughters of the King, and we are free people, ultimately, eternally. 1 John 3:1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Ephesians 1:4-6 says, in love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the Beloved. John 8:36, if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. So, if the heart of this story is about freedom, if our ultimate freedom stems from our new lives in Jesus, then this freedom is eternal, it's lasting. And it's bigger and better than any personal or individual freedom we might have. However, the story is not just about that, it's about well, then what do we do with our personal freedoms here on earth? Verse 26, Jesus helps us. He says to Peter, then the sons are free. However, to not give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself. Okay? There will be times and places in your life, my life, as a church, where we don't exercise the freedoms that we rightfully have. You tracking with what Jesus is saying? There will be times and places where we don't exercise the freedoms that we have. It doesn't mean that we still don't have them. It means there are times when we discern that we are not going to exercise those freedoms. In this case, pay the tax. Don't cause offense. Pay the tax. Now, we are a people that are richly, richly blessed. We live in a prosperous nation. We live in a free nation where we are free. We have more freedoms than we know what to do with. We have freedoms to think, choose, purchase, sell, worship, eat, drink. We have so many rights and we have so many freedoms, but there is discernment. As a Christ follower, there is discernment in deciding when and how to exercise these rights or not. Jesus says he doesn't want to cause offense by not paying the tax, okay? And the word offense that he uses here in the Greek, in the original manuscript, in the Greek, it's the word is translated scandalon in the Greek. And this word is used elsewhere, the same exact scandalon is used elsewhere in the New Testament for something that causes a person to stumble spiritually or be tripped up. So the implications here are huge. We are taught by Jesus to avoid acting in ways that could cause spiritual roadblocks. We are taught to act in certain ways that will not cause others to stumble. But some of you might be saying, hold on. I thought Jesus, wasn't Jesus this radical figure who was like routinely offending people? That's true. Right? He called out religious leaders routinely, the religious leaders of the age who were drawing people away from God and into self-righteousness and empty legalism. He called them out. He called them hypocrites and vipers. That's pretty offensive. He even calls his disciples dull and faithless. Jesus was not shy in causing offense. So shouldn't our ears perk up when we hear an instance here where Jesus says, don't offend over this. It's not worth it. My word's not his, but the implication is there. This should jump off the page to us. Today's lesson is not, okay, today's lesson is not don't offend people. Today's lesson is avoid offending people when it causes them to stumble. When Jesus challenges and offends others, he's doing it over the depravity of their sin and their blindness to who he was, not whether a tax is being paid or not. Even in chapter 22, when the religious leaders try to corner him, they say, teacher, is it lawful for us to pay the tax? He says, who's on the coin? Is God on the coin? Nope. Caesar's on the coin. Give it to Caesar. It's his. Pay the tax. So, our lives are full of these opportunities to exercise our freedoms. In order to do this well, it's tough. Let me offer you two helpful words for this. We need discernment, and we need humility. I think there's a slide. I think it's the next slide, possibly. We need discernment, and we need humility. Discernment comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the life of the Holy Spirit living inside of us and being our teacher and our helper and our guide, and we must depend on him prayerfully to help us make decisions, godly decisions. And humility, we must be humble. Know that at any moment that our adversary, the devil, is going to make you want your own way, is going to inflate your ego, is going to want to push you in the direction that you feel is best, regardless of anybody else around you. Matthew 7, a few months ago, when we preached on this, Matthew 7 tells us that if we are to possibly offend people or if we are to interact with people, we need to first take the plank out of our eye, and Jesus uses that really intense metaphor for the sin that's on our own hearts before we address other people. We must humbly take a look at our sin when we're making decisions and ask Jesus to forgive us and purify us so that we can see clearly. So I want to provide a couple examples here, kind of bring it into this room, hopefully, where we can use discernment in our lives. And I'm going to provide a couple of more kind of gray area topics, like paying the temple tax, that aren't in and of themselves sinful and are actually matters of personal freedom that we could very well exercise. But there are times that we don't exercise them for the sake of others and not causing others to stumble. Okay, so hopefully this should make sense. So here's a good one. Alcohol. Is drinking alcohol a freedom that Jesus' followers have? Yes. Is drinking alcohol a sin? No, not necessarily. Over excess would be the sin, right? Could there be a time and place, though, where you exercising your right to drink alcohol could actually cause another to stumble? Absolutely. Are you willing to hold this freedom that you have with an open hand so as to not be a stumbling block to others that it could be a stumbling block to? And then actually, in turn, strengthen a relationship and actually maybe create a pathway to Jesus for that person? Are you willing to hold those things with an open hand for those times and places? That takes discernment and humility. What about free speech? We love free speech, right? That's important. That's protected in the law, okay? We are free to any and all opinions. We are free to debate. We are free to disagree on all sorts of topics. I love debating topics. It's fun. It's important for us to know how to do that. But can't we agree that sometimes we probably ought to just keep our mouths closed? Can't we discern that sometimes not saying anything at all is probably the better option? Where we give up the right for us to say something in order to not cause another to stumble. Sometimes our words can be cutting, they can be demonstrative, they can be harsh. Sometimes our words just get taken out of context. Are we willing to hold our legally protected rights of free speech with an open hand so as to make pathways to Jesus, so as to actually strengthen relationships, not cause stumbling blocks with people? Here's a good one. Spouses that work outside the home, okay? Are you free to come home at the end of a long day, long busy day, and sit on the couch and relax? You are free to do that. However, is exercising this freedom at times, Can that be a stumbling block possibly for your spouse? Yes. Are there times that we give up our right to come home and just chill out for the sake of the relationship with our spouse, to help and bless them and create pathways to Jesus and strengthen relationships? Are we willing to hold those things with an open hand so as to not be stumbling blocks? I'll say it again. As we navigate through life, and as we act on or give up our personal liberties, we need to be so very aware of our own sin and our own hearts. So remember those two things. We need discernment. We need humility. Now, the sort of elephant in the room here is that we currently find ourselves in a tricky season. We have a season that there's a slew of gray area decisions happening all of the time. And times like these that we are in over the last year especially have the potential to cause anger, frustration, confusion, and division. So I will start with myself, your pastor. I can tell you at times over this past year, I have been crippled with frustration, with anger, with fear, with self-righteousness over a slew of topics. And the way at times I was voicing my opinions or acting on my personal liberties, which was not helpful, it was hurtful. And my heart was far more concerned with being right and being seen as right than being Christ-like. But the Lord has worked in my heart, has worked in my life and continues to do so, and he continues to soften my heart and redirect and refocus me and what the mission of our lives are, and that's to share the gospel with people. Now, hear me clearly, okay? I am not saying that you cannot have strong opinions on either side of any issue you find yourself in. Know what you think. Be well-read and be able to talk about those things well and understand them. But we are to not cause offense with our opinions. Now, be it over masks or vaccines or voting or education or the size of government or the amount of feet that you think is the most safe between you and another person. Church, during this tricky time, there are a lot of gray areas that we need to navigate. But as we learned from Jesus this morning, we need to be careful not to act in such a way that causes others to stumble. We are going to get this wrong at times. And there is a category for us to fight and stand up for those freedoms. But we need humility and we need discernment. Both of which, if you are a Christ follower today, both of which are free to us from the Holy Spirit and free to us with the fellowship of other believers we have in this room, this family that we call Terra Nova. Can I plead with you for a moment that you pray for Daniel and I? As we so very much need your prayers for humility and discernment as we navigate these confusing and difficult days, as we navigate how to make decisions on secondary issues that are currently invading certain parts of our personal liberties. This is not easy, and it's not always clear, but we seek the Lord's will in these things. We seek to be a church that's unified even among our diverse amount of opinions and convictions. That's the beauty of the gospel, everybody. That's the beauty of our collective freedom. That if you are in Christ, you are free, and that unifies us. We can still have a myriad of opinions and a myriad of convictions, yet we are unified in Christ. In times like these, do we fight to proclaim the gospel? First and foremost, do we fight to keep our eternal freedom first and foremost as primacy over our lives and all other things secondary? Or do we find ourselves at times fighting harder to be seen and known as right on whatever side of the issue? You see, Jesus was the most free and the most righteous and the one who had the most right to throw a fence everywhere he went. But Jesus ultimately laid down not just his personal rights and opinions, but he laid down his life for us. Sure, it's exciting and kind of invigorating to see Jesus like stick it to the man. It's like, yeah, mic drop, Jesus. That's awesome. But he was ultimately nailed to a tree to die a sinner's death for you and I so that we could be brought into this family. We could have the freedom that he had with his Father. Eternal life. Now, these times are complicated. It's not going to get any easier until Jesus comes home. Life is hard. And let's not think for a moment that life is safe, but it's good. C.S. Lewis quote, for those of you who caught that. But Jesus has given us safety and ultimately securing us in him. So are we willing to hold our personal liberties with an open hand to Jesus? Because let me tell you, you can trust him. And this brings us to the close of our story today and the close of our time of learning today, where we see Jesus do just the coolest thing. Verse 27. Jesus says to Peter, "Go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Do you see what just happened? I mean, yes, Jesus did a miracle. That's awesome. That's so cool. But what's he showing us through that? It's that he provides. If you've been a Christian for any time at all, you know that being a Christian means giving things up. Means dying to yourself and living for Jesus. Friends, when we give up ourself and when we submit to our Father, he always, always provides. And the beauty is that God, Jesus is God. He knew all the schools of fish in the Sea of Galilee. He knew all of them. He knew where they were. He's God. He knew that one single fish that had eaten that silver coin that was going to be caught by Peter, that was going to pay the temple tax. He knew that. If he knows that, if he knows the fish under the water, he knows you and I. He knows our hearts. He came for you and I. So as we move into a time of communion and we continue on in our time of worship, even though we are free in Christ, we have such a great need for him, don't we? So as you take the bread this morning, I encourage you to physically break it. Sometimes we put the whole wafer in our mouth and we chew it, and that's great. But I encourage you to physically break that piece of bread, because Jesus was undone, manipulated, crushed, and broken for you and I to make us free. Eternally free. And then let the juice just wash over your mouth and your tongue and fill every cell in your mouth and tongue, and know that Jesus poured himself out for you to cover and fill and flow through your body. And he did that to make us free. So friends, be free. Amen.